Trigger on!
Welcome, dear all, to the Duckface Diaries. We are a World Trigger read-through podcast aiming to discuss the World Trigger manga volume by volume. I'm Wensleydale Cheddar.
And I'm Dr. Hovind, the manga enthusiast, general weeb, and on and off podcaster.
And today we're going to have a bit of an introductory episode. We're going to tell you a bit about World Trigger, a bit about ourselves, about our experience with the series, and how it all started for us. And lastly, we're going to tell you a bit about our favourite moments and characters. And hopefully by the end of this, you can decide if you want to join us on this journey, since this podcast is basically meant to gauge interest. And we decide how far we want to take this, just to Border HQ, or all the way to Aftokrator, to the neighbourhood and beyond. As the youth say, I guess.
As them kids say.
So, what's basically World Trigger about? So, World Trigger is a shueisha, a Shonen Jump series by Daisuke Ashihara, the author who gets sick perhaps the most in the current Shonen Jump roster. It's a story about a city in Japan being invaded by aliens from another world. We call those aliens neighbors, and the city is defended by Border, paramilitary organization employing kids to use special border technology taken from neighbors to defend the city against the weapons that can't be hit, can't be penetrated by normal human weapons. We follow the story through the eyes of Osamu Mikumo, a middle school student who turns out to be a border agent in secret, and who meets the neighbor Yuma, who has come to Earth to meet his dead father's friend. Is that how you'd basically describe the series, Hovind?
Yeah, it's essentially a sci-fi. It's very much the thrust of the plot is that both the main characters and Border themselves finding out more about the world and how these neighboring worlds function. But it's also very much a shonen battle manga, and also kind of has an element of a sports series to it, with an emphasis on sparring matches and frequently quite low-stakes combat.
Precisely. The strategic battles are a much-loved element of the series, and hopefully we're going to get to that part, since it happens way past a few volumes. Let's tell a bit about ourselves. So, Hovind, who are you, and how did your adventure with World Trigger start?
So, I'm a big manga fan. I found out about World Trigger through the podcast Weekly Manga Recap, who we both listened to.
Yeah,
I was at the time a subscriber to Weekly Shonen Jump, but I basically just followed Food Wars and One Piece, and that was about it. And I was catching up with various series, and but then I joined a forum that both myself and Wensleydale met on, a RP forum called One Dream Adventure Reborn, which was essentially like a sort of group creative writing forum set in the world of One Piece. And it was set up by one of the hosts of Weekly Manga Recap, so as a result there were quite a few World Trigger fans. I'm pretty sure it was the most discussed series by far on the forum.
Yeah, and I think so too.
I also think that there's a very happy overlap of people who would find that, because obviously a lot of the stories that we wrote on that forum were very based around combat and the mechanics of how the fights would work. There was some PvP stuff. I think that appeal translates well to the sort of combat that World Trigger has. So hearing lots of people going on about it, I bought the first 5 volumes at a Comic Con, and I filled up the gaps with scans. I distinctly remember there was like unfinished chapter art in chapter 77, which I don't think people will have as much now, since the volumes have now crossed that threshold, and I'm pretty sure they corrected it. Yes, I believe it is. It's slap bang in the middle, maybe towards the end of the big invasion. And I remember being mixed on the early arcs, but much more on board with the invasion. I noted quite a lot of similarities to Bleach, with the premise of the main characters are tied to this organization that go out and fight these big monsters that invade through portals in the sky. Obviously the approach is starkly opposed to Bleach. Bleach is often a very emotionally driven, dynamic series with its action, whereas World Trigger is much more grounded and strategic.
That is not to say that World Trigger doesn't go into some deep emotions, but it's definitely more down to earth.
Mm. So I felt the pace was really quick and that it would make the manga fun to keep up with week to week. However, the opposite was actually the case. Yeah, my story with World Trigger goes through a bit of an arc, because the sheer number of characters that the series introduced and the often homogenous design made it very difficult for me to follow who everyone was initially. And it launches into this very long arc, which is essentially a series of sparring matches, and the lack of immediate stakes week to week wasn't really grabbing me. I'd say this series has it's got, more so than other shonen manga, a very muted emotional range on its characters. And this is both a good and a bad thing. It's like, on the one hand, if there's a particular kind of trope or character that you find really irritating, any cases found in here probably won't bug you that much, because every single character has a quirk or a trope to them, and then is also usually very methodical and level-headed. So it dilutes it a little, but at the same time, it can make finding an immediate appeal hard. I think we've often described it as a series that's better enjoyed back in hindsight, in a way.
Yeah.
So then the hiatus happened and the forum shut down. And when World Trigger came back, I was much more receptive to it. Although I have had it on hold since it went monthly. And I think it's weird. I've talked a lot about the manga's faults, and that's because, honestly, my mixed feelings towards it are the reason I want to do this podcast, because it took me a while to get into this, and I know for some newcomers, it might not immediately leap out what to latch onto with it, and I kind of want to do this to be like, your complaints are valid, and also you could well still see something if you stick with it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my go-to, and I'm now watching through the anime, which I would not call the ideal way to get into this. They clearly don't have the resources to pull it off, and it's quite limited animation, but it is a useful supplement. Like,
yeah, the pool episode, the ending on the filler arc. Yeah,
I'm just about to get to the filler arc, actually. I don't know anything about it. Yeah, it's definitely like interesting, because now that I have a sense of what the characters' hair colors are, I can better remember them. But yeah. Okay, I think I've talked enough. Why don't you share your story with World Trigger?
Yeah, fair enough. I was just going to say that, well, obviously we found World Trigger through the same context, Weekly Manga Recap and ODAR. I kind of approach it differently from the start. Since I started with WMR and I've been listening to the podcast for so long, I kind of already anticipated the hype. So the early volumes weren't a slog for me to read because I kind of, through cultural osmosis, I sort of knew where this was all going. And even before the invasion arc, I much enjoyed things like Jin's battle, which again I better enjoyed on the read through, and Osamu versus Kazama mock match near the start of the border HQ hijinks. The slow burn in the character progression in World Trigger, plus the intertwined relationships in a cast of thousands, is the perfect kind of storytelling to me. Before I started hating on South Park, I used to be a big South Park fan. I think this may have contributed to me kind of feeling at home with this series due to its kind of monolithic designs, the kind of minimalistic differences in hairstyles and in facial features. Those not being very detailed faces, these kind of minute details making the characters just a little different, but not straying so much from the default. I kind of found this charming. I think I also approach sequential art a bit differently in a sense, in that My stance on this has changed, but I used to think more of art as the vehicle for a story rather than the other way around.
Okay.
In this way, I much preferred it over, for example, Bleach, even though I like a lot of parts of Bleach.
I will say, the art definitely... I wouldn't say it's the way it is for no reason. It emphasizes the very uniform, technical way that Border is set up very nicely. It definitely carries a sort of... that kind of aesthetic to it.
Yeah, and it's also one of the most... I would say, clear art styles in in Shonen Jump right now. Siren, for example, was much sleeker than this, and much more resembled Bleach. I kind of find it similar in that regard, in that I always know what is going on in the panel, and don't have to look twice. Again, it's a different thing than, for example, One Piece, which I love, but sometimes a lot of things are going on in the panels and I don't know what to pay attention to. So there was the Odar forum where we first met, and in that forum emerged the next chapter in my World Trigger adventure. For those of you who may remember the name Team Odar, I engage in a collaborative project during Team 4Star's hashtag TIBA Abridgeathon competition. We made an abridged series, World Trigger Abridged, where I played Osamu Mikumo, the border agent who wishes he could become a harem protagonist in a world where everyone wants to become the anime hero.
Wait a minute. Where is my heart?
And I played a random minor character who gawked at one of the females.
Oh yeah,
I did, and then he got his ass kicked because Ghidorah's a bamf.
Worth it. Ah, not worth it.
Oh right. Was it in the? Oh right. It was in the episode that we haven't released yet. Unfortunately, World Trigger Bridge has been put on indefinite hiatus because the file for episode 3 broke, and I edited half of it, and then it broke, and I lost steam, and I hate it.
It's the most demoralizing thing ever when something like that happens.
It's a pity. It was a lot of hard work, but it was fun, and it was rewarding. And we've moved on since then to, like, manga podcasts and video essays, but... just in case, I've put up the revival of the series as a goal on Patreon. I think I may still do episode 3. I don't know. Check out patreon.com/Wednesdaydale chat if you want me to. And it wasn't until World Trigger Bridge and me guessing on Manga Mavericks that I truly fell in love with the series. And because I had to watch the anime and reread the manga... As we said, World Trigger is always a better experience on a reread. When you know where the story is going, you appreciate all the build-up, all the little character dynamics so much more. It's a richer experience with a world that truly feels big and alive, despite taking place in one city. And I'm still keeping up and looking forward to the away mission. Thought the conclusion to the rank was phenomenal. That's basically my thoughts now. So, any other thoughts, or shall we move on to favourite characters?
Yeah, I think just like the twofold central of the appeal of this series to me is, one, its approach to combat, which we've gone over, and the other is its main protagonist. Osamu Mikumo is a fantastically well-done underdog. They really commit to him having to work long and hard to... get anywhere, because he's a very tactical thinker, but he is not a strong fighter, naturally, at all. And literally, so much of the series is spent just, like, him getting competent at fighting on his own. And it makes it so satisfying when he really achieves something, because it's you can tell how much work he's put into it.
Yeah, and in addition to having this much of an established cast in Border, you have a lot of established tactics that we get to know. And over the course of the story, both Osamu and Chika and Yuma tend to come out with these kind of established but underutilized tactics in the whole of Borden, the entirety of the organization.
Yeah, it's like their sniper, Chica, as you mentioned, she's Osamu's childhood friend, and she essentially functions as a demolition cannon. She has a massive resource of Treon, the power source that they draw on their weapons, and she can just do crazy amounts of damage. But she tends to damage buildings because she has a fear of actually shooting people. And then Yuma utilizes these things called grasshoppers, which are little, like, energy platforms. All the weapons are very energy-based. And these essentially allow him to get little extra hop in, which works really well because he's a very mobile fighter.
Yeah. In particular, Chica, I think, is an outstanding jump heroine and is probably my favorite main character of the series. I thought her story arc is superb, and her personality and dynamic with the other characters is funny and just comfy and pleasant, I guess.
Chica is an extremely endearing character. Yeah, my other favourite characters are Ikoma and Chiori, mainly just that they're just very goofy. Ikoma is the most outwardly goofy character. He's not a particularly important character, he's a side character on... Because basically, the teams are, they are in three or four man cells, each team within Border. And Ikoma is from one of the other cells, but he's just really silly, and he always says something ridiculous, which is quite an outlier in World Trigger, because there aren't a lot of jokes, I don't know, there's plenty of humour, but there aren't a lot of, like, highly comedic characters. And then Shiori's similar. She's, like, she's one of the operators of the branch that the main characters work in. The operators basically just help guide them when they're in the field, back at the base. And yeah, she's very overly coddling at times and quite silly. So yeah, I enjoy.
And she has glasses. Of course, you'd like her. my probably favourite side character, it tends to vary chapter by chapter, but overall I would think it's Kikuchihara from Kazama Squad. Mm. There's no limit to how much of a hilarious wanker he can be to the other agents. But also his backstory with his side effects, which is a kind of special enhancement powers. We'll go into it in the next episode, maybe.
Yeah.
His backstory of this and how he found himself in the team is really heartwarming as well.
I guess we could get into our favourite moments of the series, a few of them.
Yeah.
Mind if I start?
Yeah, sure.
So, the big one for me, and here's a note, these are all going to be stuff that I've already covered in my anime rewatch, because that's really solidified a lot of my opinions on certain bits. And the big one is the climax of the invasion arc. Basically, this invasion arc, we've been alluding to arc names, but this is the first big arc of the series. It's when a huge invasion, unseen invasion, unprecedented invasion of neighbors arrive in the city, and some of them are human, some of them are monsters, and some of them are humanoid, and we've never seen these humanoid ones before, but the humanoid ones are ridiculously more strong than what our main characters.
Oh, we've seen Yuma.
Oh yeah, yeah, we have. That is also another similarity to Bleach, the fact that, like, the invading enemies vary, and the humanoid ones tend to be much stronger. It's a bit of a slow start, the arc, but once it gets going, it just slaps so much. It's just a series of last-ditch strategies it makes much more creative use of the power set, like, in how sometimes there are ways that it can't, because up until this point, they mainly fight in Treon bodies, which are, once they are taken out, they just warp, they're warped back to the base. This is the first time they've made use of combat sometimes taking away that Treon body, just because they were that pressed for time. And there's a really palpable sense of stakes in this arc, because, not to get into too many specifics, because we want there to be some surprises as we're reading along for new readers, but, like, Osamu has a very desperate mission to get done, and he has things that he needs to protect. And the neighbors are just constantly going after them. So it just really gripped me right up until the end. And there's a lot of very satisfying a lot of very satisfying setups and payoffs in the various fights as well. Like, there's one where two characters are fighting one of the humanoid neighbors and have to retreat for a while, but then those two characters end up being really crucial for the strategy that the others use on them, on this particular neighbor, and it's just a really good example of setup and payoff. What about you?
I've been holding it back, but with all of those Bleach comparisons, I can't wait till Osamu gets his Bankai.
You did mention the Jin versus Tachikawa fight, which is also one of my favourites.
Yes. There is this moment in the series where, before Yuma actually is allowed to join board, one of the chiefs of the entire organisation wants to kill Yuma for reasons. But this is the point in the series where Yuma and Osamu's friend, one of the upper-ranked agents of the entire organisation, is Jin. And he has a battle basically against four higher-ranked teams in Border. And it's an amazing way to make this character seem so impressive without making the other agents seem like goobers, I guess.
Yeah, it really is the series showing its hand with how the fights are going to be organized. Because it's he is definitely at a disadvantage here. The one we mentioned, Tachikawa, is his biggest rival in the whole organization and a very high ranking agent. I think he's the number one.
Yeah,
he might not be. He's one of the highest ranking agents, and everybody else fighting him are also very high ranked. They're all A ranks. But he's still able to keep his own with them, and in a very convincing, internally consistent way. It's great.
Jin is also the only future side character that makes sense in fiction.
It's like there are isn't it done in a way that there's multiple possible futures, but it's like the future can be changed?
The future can be changed by what he does, and he does see different paths, but also he can't really... He can predict a lot of things, but it's also very fucking exhausting, and a lot is riding on him. And during the resolution of the arc, we see this moment where he finally accomplishes his mission and drops on his bed inside his room and finally falls asleep. And all the while, Osamu and the team don't know anything that had happened behind the scenes. And this was such a powerful moment.
Are there any other moments in particular? Because I've gone through all of my favorites so far.
I've already mentioned the Osamu versus Kazama fight. It's one of those fights that still kept Osamu as a major underdog in the series, but also utilize his weaknesses to signal what his future growth is going to be, how he is going to find himself as an asset to the team despite being a captain that can't really do anything in comparison to his other teammates.
Yeah. A lot of these we are just going to get into as we read through it. Speaking of, do we want to get into, like, how exactly we're going to go about each episode of this?
Right. So basically, we are going to cover the manga volume by volume, one volume, one episode. As for the time frame of this, I don't know. I think we may try doing these once a month and keeping it to within half an hour, I think.
Yeah.
But it basically depends on you. So wherever this comes out, you can give us input in the comments.
Mm.
On YouTube, on Podbean. Can you do comments on Podbean? I forgot.
I am not sure. I do not use Podbean enough. But I will also say, feel free to watch to read along. And also feel free to watch along, because even though I have mentioned that the anime is not the ideal way I'd recommend getting into this, I'd distinctly recommend the manga. We don't discriminate. We will give the anime episodes covered in each of the volumes as well. And feel free to watch along if you are just massively more of an anime person and can't really hack it with manga. Because, you know, it's always good to have new fans on board.
Absolutely. And also, while the anime leaves much to be desired, I'm very happy about it coming back, and yeah. I very much praise its cast. Its actors are excellent.
It's a very direct adaptation, so everything that we talk, you shouldn't be lost listening to us referring to the manga. So, yeah.
So next month we're covering volume 1, so read either chapters 1 through 7 of the manga, or episodes 1 through 4 of the anime. Right, so is there anything else we want to mention?
So I guess we could just, I'll just let people know where you can find our stuff. So you can follow Wednesdaydale at WednesdayTedder on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Podbeam and Anchor FM. The links are in the description. YouTube.com/c/WednesdayDaleCheddar. Patreon.com/WednesdayDaleCheddar. That's what pays the bills for them. And Twitch.tv/WednesdayDaleCheddar. And you can find me at Hoven with an H on Twitter. And my YouTube is also Hoven with an H. It has like a different URL, but it's confusing. So just look up Hoven with an H and you'll find it.
Yeah, basically. Alright then, so this was the introductory episode of Duck Face Diaries, and as always, it's time to bugger off!